Hello and welcome to Dice Guys, episode number 9 for November 5th, 2011. Today on the Dice Guys, Jason and Mike, of course, have their game picks of the week. We also talk about house rules. What is a house rule and when are the best times to introduce those things? Also, pubic liveries.
What?
Public libraries.
That sounds
good. Do we still need them? And brain flakes, still crunchy in milk and full of yummy fiber. Yeah, oh, man.
Trying to kill me.
Mike, what'd you do this week?
This week, I really didn't do much. I took this as sort of a lazy week. And
unlike all the others.
Well, you know, a lot of the times I usually have something I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh, that's a good point.
So this
that's week, a really good point.
This week I didn't really have anything I was supposed to be doing, so I was like a real lazy week. I wasn't just procrastinating.
That's excellent. Every once in a while we need those.
Yeah. So what I did this week was I got on Netflix and caught up on a lot of like mystery shows.
Cool.
I found this one cool one called Murdoch Mysteries, mm-hmm. and it is set in Toronto, Canada around the 1890s. And Murdoch is a Catholic detective in one of the police forces there, and Catholicism enters into it. That's why I mentioned he's a Catholic. And he has scientific methods to the way he does his cases. In fact, there's probably a whole lot of things that are happening in this show that really didn't happen back then in the 1890s.
Right.
You know,
right.
Fingerprinting, I don't know when that was actually done. I think it was known in the 1800s, but it didn't actually really come in the 1920s, I think.
Yeah, somewhere around
yeah.
there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of forensic science with cadavers that I don't think was really there.
Well, especially with the Catholic
Church. But the cool thing...
It was considered to be barbaric.
Yeah, and but the cool thing about it is that as the show goes on, it kind of gets a little bit more steampunky. And there's like...
Cool.
And there's one, for example, where Murdoch creates a lie detector. And that's pretty nice little machine that he builds. And... and
cool.
everything. And it's got some comedy in it, some little funny bits, and it's got some good mysteries. It's kind of a cool little show.
On a future podcast, I think maybe we'll talk about steampunk and the attraction of it.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, what happened, though, was Netflix said they had seasons 1 through 3, but what they neglected to say was only one was for streaming. And 2 and 3 were DVDs, and I don't have the DVD
That's
side.
That's how they suck you in.
Yeah, well, you know, screw that. So so I'll either find it somewhere else or rent it or wait till they stream it or whatever. It's
right.
not that great a show for me to want right now, like Doctor Who or something. So anyway, but that's basically what I did was catch up on some mystery shows.
Cool. Fun. Very cool.
And you?
Well, my week has been pretty much filled with my addiction to Minecraft. since they put out the 1.8 update, the adventure update, you've been able to do all kinds of cool things. Like you can make giant mushrooms,
mm-hmm.
and I've been building a mushroom kingdom that's like several giant mushrooms that I've built bridges across, and I'm starting to build on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of cool because monsters don't spawn in on top of mushrooms.
Do you get to wear like a little Mario costume while you're doing this?
You know, I haven't tried. I'm sure there's a mod out there somewhere that'll let me. But anyway, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And it is a true addiction. It eats at the back of your brain when you're not playing it. So,
oh, okay.
You know, woohoo!
So I won't
good
get
job,
involved.
Notch.
I won't get involved with that.
Yeah. It would be good if one of us wasn't. Something might get done. All right.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, that was pretty much my week other than just working and, yeah. That's pretty much it. I've been trying to write stuff for the website, but for some reason I've been having this total brain block, but I'm going to try and work through that and get something posted here soon.
Well, maybe you should take a break like I did and just watch mystery shows.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, so...
Never know. Anyway,
or you can spark your brain with some brain flakes.
Brain flakes! Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, what kind of brain flakes did we come up with this week?
All right. Well, let's start out with the fact that November has turned into create crap in 30 days month.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Yes. November is a National Novel Writing Month. You're supposed to write a novel in a month.
Right, right. Like, and a lot of people participate, and you get some pretty interesting stuff out of it.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other things, like write stories a day, one per day, and there's some other things going on.
Right, but now there's a new one involved with our favorite subject.
Mm-hmm. This is Naga Demon.
Which, that name will not get you in trouble with the Christian fundamentalists. Yeah.
Yeah. Naga Demon, the National Game Design Month.
Right.
National being Australia, I think, because the guy who came up with this is in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Australia.
Australia, mate.
Yeah.
They're gonna God, that out. Was terrible. That was so bad.
Yeah, let's not do that again.
Sorry. Okay.
But anyway, he's from Australia, and he came up with the idea of having a National Game Design Month. And basically, he's got four rules to the Game Design Month on his little website, and they are, I'm going to bring them up here. You guys can't see me doing this because it's an audio podcast, but the rules are to create the game in November and finish the game in November. You have to complete it. Has to have everything required to play. You have to play the game in November, and you have to talk about your experience, write about it somewhere or anything in November. So everything's got to take place in November from design to playtesting and writing about it. And what do you win?
You win...
A pat on the back.
Yeah, basically. You're a winner if you can actually get this crap done.
And make a decent game.
And make it... Well, it doesn't even say it has to be a decent game. It just has to be a game that can be played and that you write about. You could write that, well, this was totally hopeless. You still won Naga Demon.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's not really a competitive thing so much as just can you do it.
Yeah, but it seems kind of cool, even if it is from Australia.
Oh, man. Address your letters to Mike at thediceguys.com. I'm actually looking forward to seeing if any games come out of this that are actually fun to play.
That's not a game. This is a game.
Wow.
Maybe we should move on before I get into more Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, that would be good because I already have a feeling that if anybody listens to this, we're going to catch some flack. All right. So,
wait a minute. Do you catch flack in Australia or boomerangs?
Oh, my God. Maybe we can edit that one out. Okay.
I'm not editing anything.
So, next we move on to
Japan.
Our science.
Japan.
Yeah, let's go ahead and just trash them too.
Science is coming from Japan in the form of what?
Robotic legs, basically.
It's Japan. It's robots.
Right.
But this one doesn't look creepy.
Not totally. And
it's not a creepy robot.
The one we're talking about is the one that's coming from Toyota. Yes, the car makers.
Mm-hmm.
They have created a brace that is a walking assistant. Now, this isn't one of those that's going to help a paraplegic.
No.
This is helping people who are trying to recover their ability to walk, who are having trouble walking, but are still somewhat capable. It helps them with balancing assistance. It helps them move their leg forward. So say they have atrophied muscles, they've still got the basic nerve impulses, but this device is going to help them move their leg.
And basically retrain them how to walk. And retrain them how to walk. It looks really cool. I mean, it's they've been made, you know.
They've made huge steps since 2004, I'll tell you that much. 2004,
we saw a picture of something like this in 2004 that was really designed to help paraplegics walk too. And that thing had a backpack the size of a house holding the computer on your back.
Pretty much.
This basically has a small pack next to the knee. Mm-hmm. And that has all the gyroscopic device and the computer devices to,
and the battery,
and it attaches around the knee and goes down to the foot and basically keeps the balance and helps you walk.
And so, it doesn't look that much different from just a normal leg brace.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The coolest thing that I found about this article was that they expect to put these and other assistive devices they've created out by 2013.
In Japan. It'll take a little longer for them to get over here, but I mean, it's still amazing that this stuff is happening.
And it's coming out really soon. Things are going faster and faster every day. We're living in the future.
And the future is kind of awesome.
And I don't even have to wear shades for it.
Oh my God. If you get that reference, congratulations. Mention it in the comments and we will give you a +1 internet. All right. So from our science flake, we're going to go back into more of a game-oriented one, which... We're kind of sitting on the fence on this one. It's called the iPad Game Changer. Now, if you're following tech at all, if you're following board games at all, there's no way you haven't seen something about this.
Yeah, they're
pushing this hardcore.
They're pushing this lately in particular because they just released it and the press release is out everywhere.
Right.
And basically, it's called the Game Changer. It's obviously a play on the fact that you can change the games on it, as well as they think it's a game-changing device for your iPad and playing board games.
Hmm.
I'm not so sure on the second part.
Yeah, that's quite questionable. I mean,
but we'll kind of get. We're going to go over iOS and tablet games, Android tablet games
in the near future.
Yeah. So I think we'll save that for then. But for right now, what this does is you plug your iPad into it. It's got a dock connector on it.
Mm-hmm.
The game board sits out to either side. It's got templates that can be placed onto this game board and pads on the game board that can feel where you put your game pieces.
Yeah, it reads where your markers are at, mm-hmm. your pawns and your dice and
so basically you can play a game and the iPad takes care of keeping track of where you are. Scoring may have a spinner on it.
Yeah, it comes with free apps for your iPad.
It comes with two games. One is Magic School Bus,
which pretty cool that they got that license.
I thought that was pretty cool that they actually got a license for Magic School Bus.
Right.
It's
a good starting game.
And then the second one is a game called
Animal Mania.
Or Animania or something like that. Animal Mania. It's basically an animal matching game, an animals playing game.
Yeah, so the first two games for this are kids' games. That doesn't mean that they won't be fun to play for adults as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you have small children, it'll be a great opportunity for you to play with them.
Mm-hmm.
Our main thing is, at least my main thing, is you're taking a mobile device...
Mm-hmm.
And then you're tying it to playing pieces and game boards
and templates
mm-hmm. and stuff that you have to keep track of. It's no longer quite as mobile as it was.
Yeah.
And it is fairly compact. You can fold it up. But still, it's taking some of the convenience of having a game on an iPad away.
Yeah.
The Game Changer costs $80.
$80.
Now, part of that's the pad. Mm-hmm. That's going to read all the templates and so forth. Okay, and so part of that cost is understandable. The apps are free for the games.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have to buy the skins more than likely to the templates to go mm-hmm. on top of the game board. That's kind of steep.
Yeah.
You pay $80 for an actual board game, and you get 50, you know, miniature pieces, mm-hmm. high-quality cardstock, tons yeah. of dice. You know, I mean, you get a lot for your buck.
And that's not including the cost of the iPad or Android tablet itself.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
That's the truth.
Now, obviously, you can use it for a lot more things, but, mm-hmm. but I mean, yeah, who knows. But we can go into that more later, but we just wanted to actually bring it up, though, so if you want to look it up, we're going to have a link to it on our site, so you can mm-hmm. kind of check it out yourself and see if it's something that looks interesting for you guys.
Yeah, and if you have some experience with this and you want to address our questions, then feel free to leave comments,
mm-hmm.
because we're more than happy to get your feedback on it.
Yeah. I do like that it starts out with family games, though. Which
yeah,
is kind of,
I think
which is
that's pretty
good.
Awesome. Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, well, to go from a game changer, mm-hmm. we will slide into my game pick of the week, which I go a little retro.
Retro, okay.
Well, quite a bit retro, actually. my game pick of the week is Yahtzee. Now, there's some hardcore gamers out there groaning right now, but I have very fond memories of being a small child playing Yahtzee with my parents, my mm-hmm. sister. And it was a great way for family bonding. It was a lot of fun. It taught me, for one thing, playing with people that I loved and cared about. It taught me that competition isn't the end-all, be-all. You can sit there and help somebody figure out, you know, if they miss seeing a combination of the dice that, you know, they would be better going for, you can point that out to them and still have a lot of fun. You don't necessarily have to win the game to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was taught while playing it. Maybe not everybody got that experience from Yahtzee, but I did.
I was taught in my family to go for the throat.
Well,
make sure you block as many possibilities for people as possible and bury your brother in die rolls so he can't breathe.
Awesome.
Okay. Uh-huh. Maybe it wasn't that bad.
Maybe not that bad. But
Cutthroat Yahtzee.
Yeah, I mean, I've played Yahtzee continuously through the years. When I used to work at a job where I got an actual lunch break with a lot of other people, unlike now, then Yahtzee was a regular thing at the lunch table. So it's a great game. You're rolling dice. You're trying to build a combination. Similar to poker, you've got a full house, which is three of one number on a dice and two of a different one. You've got small straight, which is four dice in a row. You've got the large straight, which is all five dice in the row. You've got your Yahtzee, which is all five the same. Then you can build combinations of three or more of the same number for scores at the top. And it's just basically whoever gets the biggest, most points wins.
Mm-hmm.
And a pretty simple game, very fast, very easy to pick up. There's not a whole lot of strategy to it.
The most strategy comes into choosing what to get rid of if you don't make something.
Right, right.
And you have to write a zero into a slot. Then what do you throw away and not get the points for? One thing I like about Yahtzee these days is that they've licensed a lot of stuff, and you have all these cool Yahtzee kits out there.
Yeah.
So you've got Muppet Yahtzee, and you've got Mario Yahtzee, and you've mm-hmm. got all kinds of other Yahtzee sets that are basically, you know, based on people's favorites, and they can buy a Yahtzee kit that they really like. And well, you know,
and honestly, if you have some friends that you're wanting to get into gaming, and they enjoy poker or other card games, stuff like that, Yahtzee is a great way to get them into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my game pick of the week, Yahtzee.
Okay.
And we'll have a link to it in the show notes.
We'll have a link to some Yahtzee game somewhere.
Some Yahtzee game somewhere.
Yeah.
All right.
So one thing you can do with Yahtzee, because it's such a simple game, or a lot of people know it, is you can change it up sometimes with house rules.
Oh, yeah. I've done that plenty of times, too.
So
we had a bucket of dice one time that was enough dice to fill in every single thing on the score pad, and you roll them all at once. And then you figure out what you're going to build from all those dice. That takes a while.
You only get one roll?
One roll. That's it. Yeah, that was an interesting version of the game. We didn't play that too often. But anyway,
rules. What would happen if, like, some dice fell off the table?
I think you got to re-roll those. If you could find them. So, anyway.
But, yeah, house rules.
House rules.
Rules that you make up to play with your friends.
Yeah, variations on the established rules of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the important bit, and we will tell you in a moment why this is the important bit or why we thought this needed to be brought up. If you're going to play with house rules, then tell people before the game starts.
Exactly.
These are the house rules. Do you want to abide by them? If everybody agrees, then great, you play with the house rules. If not everybody agrees, you don't play with those house rules, or you go find another group to play with.
Yeah, as simple as that. Or you modify the house rules. Whatever it is, before the game starts, you figure out the rules. So, why does this come up with us today?
Well, actually, this is more your thing. It was, you found this,
Well, it was an article that was posted by somebody.
Person posted, yes.
And he was kind of lamenting the fact that he was in the middle of a game, and he was winning, and apparently he was winning this game. He thought he was very far ahead. And two of the other players in the game decided that they were going to take a little longer on their turns.
Mm-hmm, because obviously he was outsmarting them, or just playing a better game in some way.
Something made them change, and they decided to take longer. He says they were taking up to 4.5 minutes or more to do their turns, which frustrated him, and he just wanted to get the game over. So he ended up, in the end, losing the game.
Right.
And he was pretty upset about it, from what I can read here. And he continually basically blames them for doing what they're allowed to do, which is,
I will give him a small amount of credit that he admits that some of this is probably due to sour grapes.
Yeah.
You know, he's just feeling bad about losing the game. So I'll give him some credit for that, but some of the things that he said,
kind
of hinky.
Well, he says that taking that long on turns is the same as cheating. He says
that they were doing it as a game ploy to frustrate him and make him not play so
well. But what he doesn't say in his article here is how familiar these people are with this game. Maybe they're new to it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the middle of the game they decided, hey, we're not playing this right. We need to rethink this.
Yeah, maybe they just sat down and thought, you know, we haven't been thinking our moves through well enough. I don't want to lose.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
So,
and in fact, even if it was a game ploy, sometimes that's part of game playing.
Right.
Is to out-psych your opponent.
Right.
So.
It obviously, if it was a game ploy, it's a little iffy.
Mm-hmm.
To some extent, you can kind of understand him being a little miffed about that.
Well, I would be frustrated too, but here's the deal. If you don't make the house rule beforehand saying the game turns can only take, say, 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
then anything's game, per se.
Right.
You know?
Well, basically, I mean, he mentions that he's picked up a timer.
Yeah.
And he's going to be bringing that out. And it's like, fine, as long as you establish beforehand and everybody agrees to your time mm-hmm. limit, that's fine.
But you have to do it beforehand.
But you have to do it beforehand. And then if they agree, well, that's the rules of the game. That's the game you're playing. Great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But to complain
about
it.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, but to complain about it in the middle of the game when you haven't established that rule in the first place is a little bit off the wall, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, there are other things I want to say about this, but we have agreed that we are not going to dog on the guy.
No.
We're really the attitude and more of just using it as an example of
Make your house rules beforehand
and make sure everybody is consenting to those.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we wanted to bring out of this because, we could dog on this guy for quite some time. But I don't feel the need. I mean, I don't think he's necessarily a bad guy.
No. And he's not necessarily wrong. I understand
the
frustration.
Not necessarily
wrong. It's happened
to
me before.
Right.
Get on with the game.
Okay.
Well, that is one thing here.
That's an adult thing to do.
He doesn't mention in the article if he broached that, You know, right. I mean, he could have said, hey, guys, the term's taking a little long. Maybe we can limit them now.
Yeah, he was at an event, so I'm sure there were plenty of other games going on that he wanted to play and stuff. He could have walked away at any point.
So he could have walked away or brought it up, and they could have voted in the middle of the game. Yeah. But anyway, but yeah, basically figure out the rules ahead of time, and it just avoids a lot of that problem. So
yep, and once again, I will say that in a future cast, we will probably talk a little bit more specifically about house rules.
Mm-hmm.
I can definitely foresee that being a topic. But for right now, what we're wanting to establish is make sure that everybody knows the rules you're wanting to play by.
Yeah.
And if they're not willing to play by them, play with somebody else.
Hey, you know what?
What?
Speaking about knowing the rules, that brings up my pick of the week.
Yeehaw, I got snake eyes.
So it does, Mike. Why do you say that?
Well, last week I picked a game called Give Me the Brain.
Mm-hmm.
Give Me the Brain for my pick of the week. And unfortunately, because old brain is old.
Yes, I had one of those moments as well last week, but go ahead.
Because my old brain is old, Give Me the Brain is made by, well, it was made by Cheap Ass Games, and now it's made by Steve Jackson. And they've made a follow-up to Give Me the Brain, which has similar ideas and everything. So what happened was I kind of mixed up the two. And got a little bit of the second game's rules in with the Give Me the Brain rules.
Right. It wasn't that bad. Yeah. I mean, honestly,
basically the idea,
pretty similar.
Yeah, basically the idea behind Give Me the Brain is that you have a hand, and you have a brain, which is a six-sided die. And you have maybe a second hand that comes up in the game. You are fast food zombies working in a fast food restaurant.
Which would explain why you only have one hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, you don't ever get things right in a fast food restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But in Give Me the Brain, the cards represent jobs, and you're trying to play the jobs out and play your hand out. Okay? Now, this is where I got it a little bit mixed up, because that's basically it. You play the jobs out. The brain lets you play a little bit more jobs at one time, so you can play your hand out faster, and at some points you drop the brain, and everybody scrambles for the brain to try to get their hands to go out faster.
Right.
And so that's the point where I kind of messed up and brought in elements from my game pick of the week this week, which is Lord of the Fries.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a follow-up. It's also by James Ernst, this time working for Steve Jackson Games. And in Lord of the Fries, you again are zombies working in a fast food restaurant. But in this game, the cards represent pieces of the food. So you might have cow or bird or chicken,
pie,
drink, or whatever. There are menus, and menus are different depending on whether you want to be a Fridays, F-R-I-E-D-A, whatever, or if you want to be some kind of Chinese restaurant or some other things.
Yeah,
and
there's an Irish pub kind of thing.
And it's really fun. Basically, the object in this game is also to get rid of all your cards in your hand, but what you do is make orders. So people are coming in the restaurant and you represent that you're making the order. And you can either call the order, which is picking it from the menu, or you can roll dice and that randomly picks it. Whether you call it or whether you roll it determines how you pass cards.
Right.
If you roll it, if it's randomized, then people pass cards to you when they pass, and if you call it, then they pass cards to the left if they pass because they can't make the item. One of the funny things is you're in a fast food restaurant, obviously. You go around the table. If you get to the end of the line and nobody has made it, then it goes around again. But this time people can start leaving out items from what they're making. So you might get a cowabunga burger, which is just a bun. Hey, I've had that in a restaurant before.
I've had that too. The zombies have gotten a little bit lax.
Yeah, they've gotten a little bit lax.
It's getting later in the day.
There's later in the day, or they're being told by the boss, just get it out. And then you end up with ketchup on a bun, you know, or whatever that glop is that they put on there. So, and of course, you play the item. If you played it, you keep the item, you keep all the cards, and you add up the cards at the end to make your points. And this is the game that has shifts in it. There are four shifts. At the end of four shifts,
Mm-hmm.
You add up all the points that you have in your point stack, and the person with the highest points wins. That's easy. It's basically it. Lord of the Fries. And, of course, the fun part is that you're all playing zombies, so you can say a lot of things like brains and food and what the hell is that? So,
I'm not sure that's actually food.
I'm not sure that's actually food. Hey, there's a nose in my soup. So that's my game pick of the week, Lord of the Fries. It kind of goes along with my game pick last week, Give Me the Brain. And they're both by Steve Jackson Games, so we'll have a link on the website to them, or get them at your local game store.
All right, and we're going to now shift a little bit into something that is tangential to the game.
Well, it's not totally tangential, because tangential.
Tangential, yeah, I was like, I think I left a syllable
out. I think we need one of these things, because we can't talk, we can't read.
That's right.
This comes up because basically in Michigan, in Bay City, right. Michigan, the Wirt Public Library on Halloween held a live clue game for the kids.
Yeah, which is such an awesome idea.
Yeah, yeah, and especially on Halloween. I mean, they can come in dressed as Colonel Mustard. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to dress them up as Miss Scarlet, but Colonel Mustard.
Hey, we have toddlers in tiaras. What the hell? You know,
so, but yeah, basically a live clue game. It was a scavenger hunt based on the game itself,
and it's a nice alternative to being out in the streets trick-or-treating.
Mm-hmm. So, and apparently they had a lot of fun at it and everything, but this basically goes to something that I kind of want to mention, which is public libraries these days are being attacked.
Right,
people want to shut them down. I've actually heard a senator or representative, someone in Congress, say, why do we need libraries anymore? We've got the internet.
Well, let me answer that person. Okay, and I'm going to try and do this without going into a rant that's going to earn us another explicit tag. All right? To answer that person, as far as I know, the last statistics show that not even half of the country is connected to the internet.
Yeah, much less high speed.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so we've got that many people who don't have access to the internet. So there's that argument for public libraries to begin with.
Yeah. And there's that's one of the things libraries do, is they're an internet access point. People can go there and use the internet. When I moved to Oklahoma, I didn't have a job. I was staying with somebody and I needed to find a job. And we didn't have internet where I was staying, so I would go to the library every day, every other day, whatever it took, to look up jobs, put in job applications, and do some client work for clients that I still had calling me from Washington, D.C. So the library was my lifeline. It kept me in some money while I looked for a job and saved up to get my apartment and get situated once I moved here. That's an essential service.
Right.
And this right here proves that public libraries can reinvent themselves, which is something we've talked about.
We've talked about for brick-and-mortar stores to be able to compete with their internet competitors,
mm-hmm.
they have to change the game a little bit. They have to reinvent themselves to offer something that the internet stores mm-hmm. don't offer. Well, same thing with libraries. They are busy reinventing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
To be something more than just a place that stores books.
And they've never really been just a place that stores books. I know in my younger days, mm-hmm. I went to libraries to play board games, role-playing games. There are rooms there. You can get them for free. And, mm-hmm. and organizations just sign up for them. And we had a gaming organization that met in a library once a week.
Okay. And to ultimately, just to bring politics into this a little bit. Now, normally we don't talk politics.
That's right.
On this podcast.
Yeah, normally not.
We don't want to bring too much of that into it, but this does have a political aspect to it, and that's that anybody, and I'm sorry, we're going to have to be honest, totally honest about this. Anybody that wants to shut down our libraries has an agenda.
They have an agenda.
They are cold, heartless bastards. Sorry. Sorry. Cold, heartless people who want our people to be illiterate. They want us to be uneducated. They're cutting funding to education. They are trying to shut down our libraries. They don't want us to be able to be informed well enough to know that they're pulling stuff behind our back.
And the oddest thing is to kind of, I mean, just to go into it is political, but this affects people of any political spectrum. It doesn't matter which side of the argument you're on, if there is a side.
Right.
Not having a library available makes anybody stupid. Doesn't matter if they're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Spaghettian, you know, whatever
they are.
Tea Partyian,
because they're their own deal.
Whatever
but
it
anyway.
Is, if there's no library nearby and they don't have access to the information they need, then it's just not, nobody's going to have the information to do what needs to be done to run the country.
And quite honestly, I've been out there on the roads. Do you want these people sharing the roads with you to be any dumber than they actually are already?
Oh, my God. I have enough problems with that as it is. So I don't know if the library can help with driving, but maybe it can.
Well, as long as it, like, improves their ability for critical thinking.
Or reading the signs.
Reading the signs. Anything, yeah. You know?
So, public libraries, come on, guys. We can all think of ways to keep the public libraries around and keep the community centers going.
Right, absolutely.
Reworking them.
Use your public libraries, folks. I don't care if it's just to go in there and warm your hands on a cold day.
Yeah.
Traffic your library. Use it. Make sure that they remain useful in the eyes of the public.
Mm-hmm.
That's the show. Show for this week. I hope you liked it. You'll find links in the show notes.
To our games that we picked, to the articles that sparked some of these discussions, and to our brain flakes. So until next week.
Keep rolling those dice.
Keep rolling the dice. In your library.
No, man. Trying to kill me.